John 14, verse 15, from the Amplified Bible. If you really love me, keep and obey my commandments. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. Here's what I want you to hear. And I will manifest myself to him. Say manifest. I will manifest myself. The Amplified Bible says, I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. So what's that talking about? God will manifest himself if... We were talking about some conditional things. If what? If we love him. And if you love him, you will keep his commandments. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I say? Isn't that right? Yes. If you don't do what he says, he's really not your Lord. If you really don't do what he says, then you're not loving him. People don't like to hear that, but that I didn't say it, the Bible said it. The Bible says, if you don't do what he said, you really don't love him. Wow, that's hard, but it's a fact. We can gauge how much we love him by how much we do what he says. So obedience. How many believe it's important to obey? Obey. If you say it long enough, that's a real funny sounding word. Obey. Obey. Obedience. To do what God says. So important. The second part, remember that's if you want to see his glory, you love him, obey him, and he says if you do, he will manifest his presence to you. Manifest. Clearly seen by him. I'll make myself real to him. But he also tells us there's another part to this. We've looked at it every week for many weeks. John 11:39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, by this time he stinketh. He hath been dead 4 days. Jesus quickly says, said I not unto thee, verse 40, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Faith prepares for what is believed, doesn't it? What did she have to prepare to see the glory of God? What kind of preparation did she have to make? Had to move a stone, didn't she? I don't think Martha was probably able to do it by herself. I think somebody had to help her roll it away, but she commanded it. It was a family tomb. Roll the stone away. Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. So we've talked about two things. Number one, obedience. Loving and obeying God. Number two, believing God. And when you believe, you'll do something. You'll do something. We talked about Betty Baxter a few weeks ago. Betty Baxter was a little girl that was born with spina bifida, or a curvature of the spine that caused her to become knotted. And when she was 15 years old, she was only as tall as her 4-year-old brother. She had never walked. She couldn't speak. God gave her a voice back, and when he gave her a voice back, he told her on a certain day, and he named the day. I don't remember it right now, but it was like 1941, I believe. On a specific day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to heal you. Betty said, Mom, I've been lying in this bed all of my life. I wear very little but bed clothes, but if I'm going to be healed at 3 o'clock, I need a dress. And you know I've never walked, but if I'm going to be healed, I'm going to need some shoes. Mama went out and bought her a dress and shoes. Guess what? She got to wear them at 3 o'clock that afternoon. The healing power of God hit that little girl. She was completely healed and went around for years after that giving her testimony in churches. Many people probably, I'm not sure, Bob Alexander nodded big when I talked to him. He may have actually seen her in person. Many people have seen her in the Pentecostal circles. She went around giving that testimony. But do you see, faith for something prepares for it. And when we're asking God for the glory of God, we need to be prepared. I tell you what, people, we would many times when we start, if we had the full glory of God, we wouldn't know what to do. We wouldn't know how to act within it. Now, part of it you don't have to worry about because you're probably going to be on the floor for a while. Face down, face up. You know, Henrietta was on the floor one night and couldn't get up. It was like she was nailed to the floor, stuck to the floor. She couldn't get up. But eventually that glory is going to be used to do things. See, it's not just to be seen, it's to accomplish things. Let's talk about faith a little bit. Faith prepares. Let's talk about our faith and our confession. We had a study that went on for weeks downstairs. Bob Alexander taught it. We used the book that Charles Capps wrote entitled Faith and Confession. We talked about that. Faith, confession. It's very important, isn't it? Faith. How many of you know faith's important? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Think about that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I want to tell you something. Anybody doesn't please God is not going to heaven. Somebody said, that sounds harsh. I didn't say it. God said it. How can you say that, Pastor? Because the Scripture says that you must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord or Yahweh, that He's God, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and then you can be saved. Without that, you can't go to heaven. Well, I just gave you a picture of what faith is. Confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. And without it, it's impossible to please God. You can't please Him without it. You can't go to heaven without it. You have to do it. You have to come to the place. But Pastor, that's unfair because I've tried to have faith and I can't have faith. I wish I had faith like you, Pastor, but I don't have faith like you, Pastor. I don't know what the problem is, but I've tried to believe and I can't believe. Well, you haven't heard that the Word of God is what causes faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and there's not one single thing that I have that you can't have. You can believe just like I do. You can trust just like I do. My faith's not the greatest in the world. It's growing, but it's not the greatest there is. Jesus had the greatest faith. But it's growing, but you can have faith just like my faith. There's nothing special about me. God is no respecter of persons. Faith comes by hearing and 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 hearing. And I'll never quit. I keep hearing the Word of God because faith comes by that. We can't manufacture the presence of God, but we can have faith for it. We can't manufacture glory. I can't make it happen. I've tried. Doesn't work. I've been in churches where people just try to get your emotions at a crescendo. Have any of you ever been there? I've been there. Where emotions were the thing that people tried to work on. Get everybody very emotional and hyped up. And that's not the glory of God. That's not what I want. I don't want a lot of noise and wildfire that doesn't have any power in it. You can't manufacture it, but you can believe God for it. You can believe Him for it. Did God say, if we obey and if we believe, we'd see the glory of God? Did He say that? That's what He said, wasn't it? Romans 4:17, talking about Abraham. The Scripture goes like this, as it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations. This is what God spoke to Abraham. It says, before Him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth the things which be not as though they were. Calleth those things which be not as though they were. Calleth those things which be not as though they were. He quickens the dead. Well, in this particular context, the dead He quickened was Abraham's body. Abraham's body, the Bible says, was as good as dead. He considered not his body now dead, but he considered the Word of God. He calls things. Say things.
Things.
In the Hebrew, that's real easy because devar is word and thing is word. So they work together, you see. A thing. He calls things which be not. Can't be seen. Things. Any of you got a dog? How many people here have a dog? See the hands of those? It's almost total. I'm probably the only guy here without a dog. What do you do when you want your dog? Oh, I know what you do. You just go out and say, "The dog's not here. Whatever shall I do? There's no dog. Where's my dog? I can't find my dog. Have you seen my dog? My dog's not here." Is that the way you get your dog? Well, that's calling things which be as though they were. So if you want to call things that be not as though they were, what do you say, Keith? Huh? But it has a name. What do you say? What's the name you call it? Personally. What? Pixie. Pixie. What's your dog's name?
I got three.
Three. I.B.M. Bentley. Yeah, and you call him by name, don't you?
Yes, you do. You yell.
Come here, Bailey. Right? You don't think it's strange, do you? When you can't see your dog, to call your dog? But you know, the same people that do that all the time, when they have a problem, they will call the problem and speak of the problem instead of calling the answer. I hear people all the time, "I think I'm coming down with something." What are they doing? They're calling things that are. "I think I'm going to lose my house." Calling things that are. "I don't think my marriage is going to make it." Calling things that are. In fact, people will tell me, "Well, I'm not going to lie about it." No, but you'll call your dog. He's not there, but you'll call him. Yeah, but you say, "He has the ability to come." Well, God says that solutions to your problem have the ability to come if you call them. We bought the devil's lies.
Yes.
"Well, Pastor, I just call things as I see them." Well, you'll never get much. You'll get what you got, not much more. I call things I can't see, the things I want to see. What things soever I desire when I pray, I believe that I receive them and I have them because I call them in. "Well, there's a lot of lost people. I call them saved. My children, they're a mess. They'll never amount to anything. I call them successful. I call them more than conquerors through Jesus' name. Delivered. Set on high." You say, "Yeah, but you're just, that's wishful thinking." No, that's not wishing. That's not wishing. That's the promises of God. His Word's filled with promises. The Bible warns us that we should fear lest we be like the Hebrew children in the wilderness who left the promises unclaimed. It says fear. Fear lest you leave promises of God unclaimed unless you don't pick up on those things. And so we're looking for the glory of God. Now what would I say if I wanted glory? What might I say? What might I call?
Glory.
What would I say?
Glory.
How would I say it? What might I do?
Glory come!
Glory come! And then, just in case you didn't hear me, I might sound the shofar. You can sound it out there. You know, people think this sounds foolish. And praise God, it's a good time. It should bring a smile to your face. You know, when you've gone as long as we've gone, living under the rudiments of this world and allowing ourselves to be beat up by every circumstance that comes along, allowing ourselves to look at what is and thinking that's all there is, when, bless God, you can stand above it. Be the head, not the tail. Be above, not beneath. How about calling with me? Glory! Oh, glory! See what I'm saying? You're calling it. See, I don't believe God just said, light be. I never have believed that. That's the way the Bible, in fact, the Bible, King James puts it, let there be light. And we hear that in Cecil B. DeMille reverberation. I don't think he said it. I think God just stepped out on the edge of eternity, looked out, and said, "Or." He called it. That's the Hebrew word for light, or. You say, where'd it come from? Well, God's the source of all things, and He is light. He called it into created existence. And everything He called, He did it that way. We read it, let there be, let there be, let there be. I think He just called them. Come on, come on, named them. Green trees, grass, called them. You're going to be surprised when you see God. And you see how He does things. I am too. Glory! Oh, glory come. You know, there used to be a lot of preachers around that said it. You'd be praying sometime and all of a sudden they'd just say, glory! Well, that's what they were doing. They were calling for the glory of God. People thought they felt something. Not that they necessarily felt something, they were calling for it. Calling the glory. As we've studied this, we found out, we'll move on from this because I want to get into something else today, but I wanted to stop for a second on what faith is and help you to understand that you don't have to just sit in your circumstances and just think nobody cares, or even worse, be ashamed of them. You know, people get ashamed because they got trouble. Now, who does that sound like? Who would cause somebody to be ashamed of having... Who in the world does that sound like? The devil. And it's amazing to me how people will, because of pride, they don't want anybody to know they got a problem. They don't want anybody to know their business. You know, a lot of those people are going to spend eternity in hell because there's no transparency in them. None at all. That's right. You can't get grace and mercy until you're willing to call for it. And I don't know why God did it this way, but God says, when you call upon me publicly. That's not the only way, but that is the way He said that no man can, that doesn't confess me before men, can I confess before my Father in heaven. You have to confess Him. I told you about the wedding we did last week and how we had talked to this couple, and I was pretty sure that the bride was born again, but we could never really get, you know, it was one of those situations. I was raised up as a child and I can't put a date on it or this or that. So I'm not satisfied with that. Not that you can't put a date on it, because some kids can't, but I want to know. Because I told him, you know, being unequally yoked together would be a horrible way to start a marriage. Some of you could tell me about how horrible it is to do that. And so, you know, as I talked to him in counseling, I had him pray with me and confess with me. Jesus Christ is God. I believe it. I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. He prayed. And I said, well, you've confessed it before me, but I'd like you to confess that before men. So anyhow, you may not have heard vows like this, but I said in the vows, the first thing I did before I got to the vows, I said, and now, and I named him, and I said, I have heard you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and that you said you believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Before God and these witnesses, I ask you today, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And he did it. Boldly spoke it out. The grandmother of the bride came up to me afterward and just about shook my hand off. She said, "I'm so glad you did that." Well, you see, it's because it's important. We can't have everything just be inside. People have taught us a lie. The devil has taught us a lie that faith is a personal thing. Stay back now. Don't ask me about my faith. No, that's a way to get people not to confess Jesus and thereby end up in eternity away from God. And so we don't want to take that chance. You say, "Oh, well, that's just so you can just make people..." Listen, I'll never see these kids again, probably. They'll probably never set foot in my church. You understand what I'm saying? I'm concerned that they be born again. We talked about that, being unequally yoked together. And how, if we want to see the glory of God, we need to separate ourselves from these worldly doctrines, worldly people, worldly pursuits, things that keep us from receiving. We talked about being severe with our flesh. Remember Phineas? Phineas just went ahead and ran a spear through them because they were defying God, rebelliousness. We need to be severe with our flesh. You don't want to let rebellion ever just smolder. Because I guarantee it will rise up and get bigger and bigger. Don't let rebellion be on the inside of you. Talked about Lazarus believing, or the believing for Lazarus. I want to talk to you now about what the glory of God looks like. What does the glory of God look like? We have been programmed to believe because we read the Torah account on the mountain. What do we see in that? What did the glory look like on the Torah account on the mountain? Somebody give me one of the manifestations. Fire. What else?
Shaking.
What else? What? Yeah, the light on Moses' face. His face was aglow. There was wind. There was smoke. And there was a sound of a shofar. Ooh! Right? Only it got louder and louder and louder and louder. It was an outwardly glorious thing. But we've been programmed when we think about that. I hear people talk about meetings that they were in. And I'm not denying them. But I want to tell you what people say that when they see the glory of God, what was glorious to them. "Oh, we were in the meeting and the meeting was so great, the presence of God was so real." I've heard this testimony, that gold dust began to fall on the people. They actually saw gold dust come down. Well, you know, I wasn't there. I'm not denying it. But I'm telling you that is not something that I see in Scripture. It may have happened. People talk about what glory is like in a meeting. But I begin to look at the Word and look at what happened when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Was glory seen? Didn't Jesus say, "You'll see the glory of God"? Was there any cloud? Was there any fire? If there was, it isn't written in the Scripture. Was there smoke? Did the ground shake? Might have, but it's not written in the Scripture. What was the glory that the people saw? A man who was dead was now alive in their midst and had to be actually unwrapped. Apparently came supernaturally sliding up out of that tomb. But there wasn't any fire. The reason I say that is I believe we miss the glory sometimes for looking for outward manifestation. I'm going to say the glory is being manifested and has been manifested in our midst. It was this morning. But we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. I'm not against seeing. I'm not against outward manifestation, but I want you to guard against demanding visual or auditory signs and thinking you're missing the glory if you don't have them. Brother Hagin used to say, watch that you don't seek for the spectacular and miss the supernatural. That's a fact, isn't it? You can look so much for the spectacular that you can miss the supernatural work of what God's doing by His Holy Spirit. So let's look at some more of the manifestations of the glory of God. Let's see what Jesus had to say about them. What are they? Everybody just tell me, if you're believing for the glory of God, say it with me. Say, I am. Believing to see the glory of God. In John 17, we'll read verses 1 through 6. Scripture says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, somebody tell me what this portion of Scripture is. John 17. That's right. It's the Jesus' great intercessory prayer, or actually, this is the Lord's Prayer, right? It's not our Father. Our Father was a disciple's prayer outline. But these words spake Jesus, lifted up His eyes and said, He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. So how many of you think glory was on Jesus' mind too? He talked about it a lot, the glory of God. Verse 2 says, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. What is He telling us the greatest manifestation of glory in the world is? Do you see it in that verse? Oh, it's not up there. John 17, 2. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. That's the greatest manifestation of glory in the Scripture. That God takes someone that's dead in his sins and gives him eternal life. Isn't it? Isn't that a glorious manifestation of God's presence? Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Now pay attention to verse 4. I have glorified Thee on the earth. Did Jesus glorify the Father? How many times did you see fire in Jesus' ministry? We did. There was fire. How many times did you see outward manifestations that were like shaking of the earth or something like that? You did see shaking of the earth with Him. You did hear voices occasionally. But they weren't the norm. And yet He glorified the Father, would you say, in everything He did? Everything Jesus did was to glorify the Father. He says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gave Me to do. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work. Everybody say this with me. The works of God glorify God. Is that right? The works of God glorify God. What are the works of God? Well, is healing a work of God? Is divine supply a work of God? Is deliverance a work of God? And that's what Jesus went about doing. What did He do? If you really look at, there's three things, primary things that Jesus went doing. You read them all the time when you read about His ministry. He said He went preaching and teaching and healing the sick. Preaching, teaching, healing the sick. Those are the works that Jesus did. The three primary works that He did. Now I know He went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and His clothes became white and He became bright. The light of God filled Him. I know that. But that's one instance. And yet He glorified God in everything He did. Yes.
It's by doing God's will, no matter how small it is, but just on a daily
That's right. And I would say this, that as we do the small things, remember, he that is faithful in little will be Lord over much. I believe there's greater glory coming. But what I don't want to happen as we look for the greater glory is that we begin to demean what we're seeing. Answers to prayer are glorious. Amen? Man, I'll tell you what, sometimes I just marvel, you know? Almost before I ask, it's done. Isn't that neat? You just begin to ask God and He's already got it answered. Why? Because He's waiting for faith. He's waiting for someone to believe Him. The works of God glorify God. Jesus said in verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." Verse 6, "I have manifested Thy name." How did He manifest the name? What did Jesus say? He said, "The works that I do are not My works, but My Father's works who sent Me." Remember? He said, "The words that I speak, these are not My own words, but they're My Father's words that He's given Me." Small things. Words are just things. Small things. And yet they can carry tremendous faith. Think about it. Our words are faith carriers. They're like little cans. Each one of them can either carry faith or they can carry cursing and unbelief. "I've manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gave Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them unto Me, gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word." So He talks about what glory was Him doing what God said. The Father told Him to do something, He did it. And we so often want to think about it. You know, a lot of people, I think Jesus, when He was in the manger, knew He was going to grow up and die on the cross. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I believe that He became more and more and more aware of God as He walked. He became more and more aware that He was the Messiah, called to do what God called Him to do. And you and I actually are no different. We are growing in our understanding of who we are in Him and the call that God has on us. Let's look at one of the other manifestations of His glory in John 2:11. John chapter 2, verse 11. How many know where this is? This is at the wedding in Cana in Galilee, which was Jesus' home province. It's where He was brought up, was in Galilee. And in Cana of Galilee, what did He do there? Well, the Bible teaches that they ran out of what? Wine. They ran out of wine at a wedding that He was attending. And His mom, knowing what had been hidden in her heart about Him, walked over to Him and said, "They're out of wine." And Jesus said, "So how does this concern Me?" You know, there's humor in that if you really think about it. And she said, "I just know." In fact, I don't think she answered Him, did she? She just told the servant, "You just do what He tells you to do." What's that?
That's Mary's last written words in the Bible.
That's right. That's right. Do what He tells you to do. That'd be pretty good if that was the last words you ever spoke, wouldn't it? And so, there were these jars that had about 22 gallons in them, I'm told, that the Jews kept around for ceremonial bathing outside the house. And Jesus said, "Well, fill them up with water." And when they bring them back, guess what? They're all wine. Well, we know that's a tremendous miracle, but I want to ask you. Now, the guys that were carrying the jugs, they knew what was going on. His mom knew what was going on, and Jesus knew what was going on. Who else knew? Doesn't say anybody did, except they knew, boy, they were getting some fine wine, right? This is kosher stuff. 2:11 says, the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and did what? And manifested forth His glory. Apparently His disciples knew, because it says, and His disciples believed on Him. What kind of a miracle was this? If you put this up alongside of having the earth rock backwards on its axis 15 degrees, maybe not too big, huh? And yet, what does the Bible say? Well, actually, what was it? It was a provisional miracle, and what was He providing? The way I see it, this miracle was providing party supplies, right? He was helping them with their party supplies, right? They were running low on party supplies. Jesus is helping them get party supplies. And the Bible says that when He did this, He manifested forth His glory. Was there any fire? Well, it's not recorded. Did it thunder? Not that it's recorded. Was there an earthquake? No, and I think if there had been, it would have been recorded, don't you? No. But you see, you don't have to have a fire. You don't have to have a cloud. You don't have to have a thunder. You don't have to have an earthquake. And Elijah said, when God was talking to him, He said, first there was lightning, then there was earthquake, then there was wind. But in each one of them, He says, but God was not in them. Where was God? In the still, small voice. Was that glorious? You know what changed Elijah's life? You could say Elijah was suicidal before this. Changed his life. Changed his life. In John 10:10, Jesus said something. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The thief cometh not but for. Or we could say, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. The only reason, if the devil comes, if the devil is in operation, any manifestation that is devilish and demonic is steal, kill, destroy. So if your joy is stolen, who did it? If your health is stolen, who did it? If your home is destroyed, who did it? You know, that's one of the clearest scriptures in all of the Bible, and yet people still go around, insurance companies still go around, talking about acts of God. The devil's the one that does these things, not God. By the way, I know I got started late, and you're probably thinking I'm going to end late, but we're going to end just when it's time, okay? If you can give me just a few more minutes, we're gonna get to the meat of this. There's been a lot of meat already, but I think you're capable of chewing. Amen? Jesus said the devil, when he comes, is going to steal, going to kill, going to destroy. Anything that the devil does, no matter what it looks like, it will have as its final result stealing, killing, or destruction. It's automatic. You can't help it. That's just the way he is. He's a liar. So if he tells you it's good, it's bad, and it'll steal from you. But he says, I, Jesus speaking, said, I am come that they might have life. Say life.
Life.
Say chaim. Chaim. Oh, that's a nice word. I like chaim. It's kind of nice when you can say a word that gets more than just your tongue involved. You get the back of your throat. Chaim. Life. And that they might have it more abundantly, or to the full. Life to the full. Here's what God is teaching us through these words. Glory is a life-giving thing. When the glory of God is in manifestation, Jesus manifested the glory of God. When the glory of God is in manifestation, life is being ministered. Always life. Good. Isn't that right? Isn't life good? Life is good. Or you could say, Chaim Tov. That means life is good. It's good. So, what am I trying to get across? We watch. And we see all of the things that God does through us during the week. All of the little words He speaks to us. When God speaks a little word in your ear, that little still small voice, you don't even have to get goosebumps. Sometimes I do, but sometimes you just hear Him and you just know it's Him. It's just like, when I get to stand up here and, I know you can see I've got some notes. But my notes are primarily just a few thoughts and mostly Scripture. Because what I say to you has to come up out of my heart. That's why I don't prepare sermons. I do a note layout to get the Scriptures down, but I don't prepare sermons. I want to prepare me, my heart. And then God just speaks a word in my ear. It's not a loud word. It's just like when I was standing over here. I knew I was supposed to go over here and stand today, but when I went over here, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do, But then God showed me. I began to see people who also wanted to be in on that prayer coming and gathering, and then others coming and ministering with. Well, that's just a small word, but it was glory because it was God speaking. And see, here's what Romans 2:4 warns us about. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." See, what it's saying again is God's goodness is always bringing people toward life. Bringing people toward life. And the things that He has us do are to speak life in this congregation. The things that He wants you to do, to minister life in the congregation, those don't always come with outwardly glorious signs. In fact, let me just illustrate something to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 22. It says, "Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." Have you ever wondered about that when you read that scripture? Why are tongues a sign? Well, if you figure what he's talking about here and take it in context, there actually needs to be a little explainer right after tongues. And that is without accompanying interpretation. Whenever tongues are used without an accompanying interpretation, they are for a sign not to believers but to unbelievers. Where did we see this happen? Acts chapter 2. The tongues were spoken, but there's no evidence of interpretation. They spoke in tongues and glorified God, and who were they assigned to? At least 3,000 unbelievers. 3,000 unbelievers heard those signs, and they said, "What does this mean?" When it's given with an accompanying interpretation, then that becomes as prophecy to edify, exhort, and comfort believers. It's for the believers. But without it. So many of God's manifestations, and brothers and sisters, there's going to be some big ones yet to come. A lot of them, these outward ones, are going to be for unbelievers. Why? Because we don't need them. I don't have to have the sun turn into blood for me to believe. Do you?
No.
I'm going to believe. I guess it's the moon turns to blood. The sun gets darkened and the moon turns to blood. I don't need that. I believe it if it doesn't happen. I'm still going to believe. I'm going to heaven. I believe it. But the world needs to see. The glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's going to be a lot of big signs for unbelievers. But I don't need it because my faith isn't built upon signs. These signs are attention getters for unbelievers. And so what I'm saying today is many of these, what you might say are small things. Sometimes you even say, "Well, I don't even know if I ought to share this with people." Yes, you should. Yes, you should. Let me tell you something. When God supplies a need of yours, answers a prayer of yours, the body needs to hear about it. Why? Because it glorifies Him. It's that simple. You're not giving glory to you, you're giving glory to Him because He has met your needs. He gave you a new car and your car was broken down. Yes, that glorifies God. Amen. When he helps you save your house from foreclosure, that glorifies God. Amen. When he teaches you things that you didn't know before and you share it with the body, that not only helps other people to hear it, but it's also a manifestation of his glory. Am I making myself clear? Do you understand why I'm saying that? Jesus answered John 10:25 and said, I told you if you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. When Jesus does something, it bears witness of him in the Father's name. Therefore, what is it? It's a manifestation of glory, isn't it? Listen to what he said further, because that's talking about what Jesus did. But listen to this, and I love this scripture. You'll hear it dozens of times from me. I dare say every one of you have heard me say it more than once. But I love it because Jesus said in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also. These works and greater works shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Is that glory? I said, is that a manifestation of the glory of God? Listen, when you walk up to someone and give them a word of encouragement and blessing from the Lord, and you change their day, that's a manifestation of glory. When you lay your hands on their sick body and their body's healed or gets well, that's a manifestation of the glory of God. And how many of you have seen that many times? Most of you have seen it over and over again. And if you haven't, it's just because you're not exercising. How many of you read the email last week? How many of you are going to get fat? Oh, I'm going to get fat. Amen. Fat, fat, fat. Faithful, available, and teachable. Faithful, because I follow the Word of God. By the way, I have to apologize that at least the last 2 weeks for some of the grammatical errors, spelling errors. I realize later, you know, I get appalled when I read them. God didn't do those, I did them, you know. So don't blame him for wrong errors or wrong grammar. But if we'll take the Word and want it and desire it more than our next breath, I guarantee, listen to me, I guarantee you'll begin to see these things manifest in you. Amen? Amen. Stand with me. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we guard against demanding something outlandish or spectacular before we can believe. We don't allow that to happen because we trust you. We trust you with our very life. All that we have and all that we are and all we will ever be is because of your grace. And we trust the grace of God. We believe that the grace of God is so mighty that it's able to, within that grace, it's able to empower us to do everything else that you've called us to do. And we thank you for it and praise you for it. We also guard against being so private that we won't declare the works of our God, that we won't speak them openly, that we won't allow the ways of the world to hold us back, but we will sing forth with voices even as shofars the glorious works of our God. And we praise you today that you've taught us your word. We praise you, Father, that you've got us looking now even more for those things that other men might not see, but we see the glory of God. We see you working in our midst. We praise you for it and thank you for it. We don't despise the little things, but Lord, we thank you for everything that you do and everything that you've done for us in Jesus' name. And now may Yahweh bless you. Just lift your hands right up in the air. Now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen.